It's about you, your health, your family, and your community. This is Sunday Morning Magazine with your host, Rodney Lear.
And good morning. Hope you're having a great weekend. Welcome to another edition of Sunday Morning Magazine. As always, if you would like to find out more about the show, more about our guests, more about our previous guests, you can reach out to us on social media, Instagram and Twitter at Rodney Lear on Air. You can follow us there. Facebook at Sunday Morning Magazine with Rodney Lear. Like, follow, and share there. Or you can always listen to the show anytime you like. Head to your favorite podcast app. Anywhere you get your favorite podcast, subscribe to Sunday Morning Magazine with Rodney Lear. Earlier this week, local pizzeria legend Buddy LaRosa's celebrated 70 years in business. Today, there are three generations of LaRosa's involved in the business. A few years ago, I had a chance to talk with Buddy, his sons Mike and Mark.
Now, I kind of feel part of the family, and you probably don't know this, but I used to work for LaRosa's. I used to work at the call center before I started here. So,
well, you got good training for us.
Yes, I did, and it was a very rewarding experience, I must say.
Good.
Now, let's start with the two brothers here. Now, take me back to your earliest memory of your dad. What was your dad? What were your first thoughts or impressions of your dad?
Well, my dad worked.
And this is
Michael.
Okay, Mike.
Oldest son in the family. My dad worked, 7 days a week, seemed like 24 hours a day. And I know as a child, I understood that he was very focused on building a business and be successful. And there would be some nights maybe where I would just lay awake waiting to hopefully see his car lights come in the driveway because it would kind of flash on the side of the house. And, maybe I'd fall asleep before I'd see those car lights. And then in the morning, when I'd get up, I'd look to see that his car's in the driveway. But when your father is very committed to working, my earliest memories are that he was very intent on building a business. But at the same time, he was one hell of a father. And it's a difficult thing to accomplish success in career and success in your family. But he did an excellent job of that.
Mike, you're a little bit older, 3 years older, right? Okay, so
Mark. I'm the middle son, so I'm 3 years younger than Mike. But my memories are pretty much similar to what Mike described, except early on, not understanding the concept of what a work ethic is, just seeing somebody working so hard to provide for his family, it kind of made an impression, even at an early age, not understanding a whole lot about life yet, but knowing that he was so driven and passionate about what he loved to do and what he did for a living. I was really young, and I was just amazed by how much energy and effort and attention he put into his business. But then at the same time, he'd find a way to share time with us in meaningful ways. And there probably wasn't an abundance of time. But when there was time, it was real high quality time.
Okay, good. That quality time we always hear about. So it's interesting, Mike. We had the same type of experience because my dad, he worked really late nights and he worked for recreation. And so he would close these centers up and he would get home. And I remembered on Channel 19, Mission Impossible must have came on at like 11:30 at night. Yeah. And I remember when Mission Impossible came on, I heard that theme. I knew my dad would be walking through the door pretty soon. Yeah. So I understand that.
Waiting for dad. And really, oftentimes, he would come in my room and give me a kiss on the forehead or something. It's not like, even though he was doing his thing, he was still being a dad. And he would touch you in a way that even if it was just a simple kiss while you were dozing off, you knew he was home and he cared for you.
Sometimes I'd have to give him a spanking because her mother
say, she gave you a little report, huh?
Yeah, the reports sometimes weren't very favorable.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, been there too, Mike. All right, so Mr. LaRosa, Buddy, how much of yourself do you see in your two boys?
It's funny that you say that because when I look at one of them, I think sometimes at his age I'm looking in the mirror at Mike because Mike, here's my complexion, my coloring, Mark has his mother's complexion and coloring, I see myself, although Mark looks more like his mother and her side of the family, I see my actions, my movements, and my ways in Mark. And Michael, I don't see that. I see the appearance looking like me, but he takes after his mother's side of the family, so it's kind of nice when I see that because those qualities, it'd be pretty boring if he looked like me and act like me and be a remake of me. Where I have both of me. I have Mark's looking like my wife, and of course she's not with us anymore. She's been departed a couple of years now, and Michael looking like me. So when I leave this plane, and I hope I'm the next one to go, I always want to go before my kids. Mm-hmm. But then that way, a little of me and a little of my wife will still be here.
All right, which
is good.
So, Mike, I guess we have a lot in common because I think, you know, I look like my dad, and I think for years I denied it. And, you know, a couple of, a few years ago, I'm combing my hair, and I was like, gosh, I look like my dad. And I couldn't deny it. And everybody tells me I'm the spitting image of my dad, which for a long time I couldn't see. Mike, what about you?
No, I hear that all the time, and we have a lot of photographs of you know, dad as a 20-year-old or 30-year-old or 40-year-old, and I do look like him. I mean, there's no denying it, and people tell me all the time that, you know, that they just look like he spit me out.
Yeah, I hear that one, too. I hear that one, too. Now, growing up, you guys, did you guys always know that you wanted to follow in your dad's footsteps, that being in part of the La Rosa Pizza Empire was a part of your own plan for yourself? And this is Mark.
Yes. My dad always encouraged us to do other things, be involved in sports, look for a career, go find your dreams and pursue it, find something that you love. And the more he talked about, and he wasn't subtle with it, he was pretty overt, of the restaurant business isn't for everybody. This is hard work. It's 24/7. It's opening night every day. And he encouraged us to go pursue other careers. I don't want you in the restaurant business. I don't want you a part of this. I don't want you working the hours that I'm working. And the more he pushed the two of us away, the more we were gravitated to doing what he's doing. And I know for myself, at the youngest age, I saw what he was doing, and I was mesmerized by it. I was fascinated by it. There was a pizza counter, and he would take his hands and create something with a little bit of love and passion with his hands and present it to people, and there'd be a reaction in that process. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. And I don't know when I started thinking about dreaming what I want to be when I grow up, but all I ever wanted to do was be in the kitchen behind my dad and do what he was doing.
All right.
Although he encouraged us to do something else.
All right. And Mike, what about you?
Yeah, Dad wanted us to get the best education we could and experience working with other people and all that sort of thing. But the same thing happened. The more that I got into the restaurant, the food was always so good. And the people working there were so much fun to be with. And many of them were making contributions to the business that I could notice. I just felt like I wanted to be on the team, and I wasn't sure how I would contribute, but it just seemed like such an opportunity to help Dad continue to build the family business. The magnetism and attraction to it, I just couldn't avoid.
Very quickly, tell me about your roles within the La Rosa's organization, and Mark, we'll start with you.
I've been blessed with a love for food, and I eat for a living, so I oversee menus, product development, food research and development. So any food products, our menu, it's under my, it's one of my major responsibilities. So I'm constantly reviewing our menus, reviewing our food products, tasting, eating, sampling.
Oh, sounds
so
like fun.
I have a pretty awesome job.
Yes,
that
you do.
I eat for a living, and all right. It's as simple as that. I look at our food. I look at our competitors' food. I go and try to find new and exciting and fun things, and that's my responsibility.
Okay.
He does a little more than that, though, too.
Okay, just more than a...
Well, Mark is... I thought he was bipolar when he was young. He always seemed to be able to do more than one thing at the same time. That was the part. He could... I said, Mark, do one thing at a time. Well, that used to kind of throw him off. But Mark also is very adept with these machines that you got laying around here.
Okay, the computer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mark was very instrumental. And although Michael made some contributions, too, because we've learned to work as a team, like Mike said, it's all about we and us. It's not one individual. It's a lot of effort from a lot of people coordinated going in one direction. But they all worked. And Mark was a big driving force in that one number system, 347-1111, where we have a telephone answering center and take pizza orders for three states, and it's been kind of revolutionary for our business over the past 20-25 years that we've had this. So Mark is a big contributor with that. And to this day, when they're having trouble or something, he's right in there with him. They'll call him from the kitchen where his research center is and our test kitchen, and he gets right in there with all the IS gurus and makes his contribution.
All right, Mike, what do you do?
Well, most importantly, what I don't do is go in the kitchen, because Mark is in the kitchen and Dad's in the kitchen. And if I'm in there with them, chances are I'm mopping the floor doing the dishes, right? Okay. They're not gonna let me get messing up any recipes. But I've always enjoyed sort of the rest of the business, the people relationship side of things. So I enjoy working with all of our executives, helping shape the culture and the strategy and, you know, what do we need to do better? What are the things that we're excelling at that we got to just keep the foot on the accelerator for? So I like to think that maybe I'm the offensive and defensive coordinator on our team. Dad is still the head coach. You know, Mark and his role is keeping our food products as great as they can be with great quality and taste and everything. But I love people. I love engaging with everybody on the team.
Mr. LaRosa, let me ask you this. Now, as a business...
Now, you got three Mr. LaRosas
here.
Yeah,
just
call me Buddy.
Okay, I can call you Buddy. Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Now, you guys work together, your father and son, your brother. Are you ever afraid? How do you step outside of that relationship or put the boundaries? This is work, this is business, this is family. How do you separate the two?
Well, Rodney, I tell you, going way back when I was a kid, and my dad was a professional boxer. And he also had another job, too. He always told me boxing was his part-time job. He got paid for beating up people in the ring. But he was really a truck driver and a produce merchant down where they call it the Manx now. What was the Bottoms when he worked and we lived down there. But Dad always said, life is like boxing. You learn to respect everybody in the ring and outside of the ring. And that's how, I guess, we look at our relationship. I respect them as human beings, as my sons, and also as co-workers. We're partners. So respect. I guess when you respect somebody, you don't have to like what the hell they're doing. Life constantly is evolving and changes all the time. When they're your little children, it's a different relationship. You're more of a dictator. You tell them what to do and what not to do. And as they grow, they get a little more responsibility. Then instead of telling them, then you kind of use psychology or ask them, what do you think about doing this rather than what you want to do? And I always wanted to be reasonable with them. And if they wanted to do something that I didn't think was going to work out well for them, I said, well, if that's what you want to do, I think it's going to be dangerous or something, but I'll be down there in case you need me.
All right. Good.
Give them the support. Whether I thought it was right or wrong, I'll give them the support, and hopefully sometimes, who knows, they'll prove me wrong. Mm-hmm. So we became, I guess, we've grown together, but yet we've grown apart, but still we're a tight family.
Okay, so let me ask the brothers this. So is it always about business? So when you're at Christmas dinner, or are you guys three in the corner huddled up thinking about the next LaRosa strategy? How do you separate that?
Well, you know, obviously you have to separate it. But I think small business, family business has been so important to our country. I mean, I love what I do. And there's nothing I think is more painful than when somebody hates their job. Mm-hmm. When they go to work and they're disgruntled every day. I mean, that I think that wears on you. I mean, we love what we do and we love talking about the business. Our family is proud that our name is on something that has a wonderful reputation, and, you know, we're trying to always do good things in the community and help people and help our team members get to their goals. So, I mean, it's such a good thing we have momentum behind whatever we're talking about. We're just trying to do what's right. We're trying to glorify God through the work we do and all that sort of thing. So it's not a problem. I mean, we talk about what we need to talk about and we try to give everything our best.
So let me ask you this, Mr. Buddy, when you were bringing your sons into the business, what's the most important thing you wanted them to learn as businessmen? When you were bringing them into the business, what did you want to teach them? And what was the most important thing you wanted them to learn?
Well, number one, you have to make a profit.
All right. Now, that's
if you can't make a profit, you know, you're not going to stay in business long. But in making that profit, Not that profit's a dirty word. It shouldn't be excessive. It should be enough to cover all your expenses and have a little bit something that you can put aside for a rainy day. That's the way I was brought up. Always put a little bit aside as an emergency fund, or hopefully you never have to use it. But I think that was one of the main things that I would stress on the boys in business is you have to make a profit, but then you have to be fair. If somebody spends a dollar, you got to give them a dollar's worth of value. And then making that profit, be sincere about it. Once you got their money, just walk away from, well, I got your money. You give them something for the money, and do it in a way that they want to come back. Make it a good experience for them. That, gee, you know, I can go to La Rosa's and get value and quality, and still they're nice people, and they thank me, and they're appreciative of our business. It's not just a one-way street. So we try to be more than just supplying a product to the customer. Give them the value, appreciate it, and open up. Reach out a little more. Open the door for them. Go a little further. If they got their arms full, go out to their car and open the door for them. If it's raining, have an umbrella there and go out, take them out to the car and do a little extra. A little, because today, unfortunately, everybody doesn't do the little extras anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just what's good for them. And once they sell you the product, you're on your own. So be sincere, be honest, and work hard to get their satisfaction and their confidence in you. So when they think of your product, they only think of ordering from you. They're going to try somebody else, but they'll always come back to you.
All right, guys. Let me ask you guys the same kind of question. What do you think is the most important thing you've learned from your dad as far as being a businessman?
As far as a businessman,
okay,
Rodney,
Mark?
Dad led by example, and it was pretty easy to kind of mimic and emulate what he was doing. And I don't think he prescribed to it or laid out a roadmap to it, but you could see him, he lived by the golden rule, do what's right, give 110%, and treat others the way you wanted to be treated. And he did that. He put action behind that. He didn't just say it. You could just see you could see evidence of that coming to life in all that he did. So our behavior was kind of modeled and dictated and influenced by just watching what he was doing and then just mimicking it. And I think the golden rule, the way he's lived his life, conducted his business, raised our family, treating people the way you want to be treated, doing what's right, and giving 110%, and we saw him do that all the time. I think that was probably the foundation that I know I was able to start a career from, and I'm sure it influenced my brother Mike too.
Now let me ask you, gentlemen, this, and I think as men we go through this. How important do you feel stress, pressure, or the certain thing to make your dad proud of you? I think a lot of men go through that. Is that a challenge for you guys? And having such a successful dad, was that then a challenge for you, trying to make your dad proud of you or wanting your dad to be proud of you?
Trying to please dad and trying to live up to his expectations was always evident. It's there. But it was interesting when we were in our early 20s, dad was still very active and busy, involved in the business, but he made a brilliant decision to put a non-family member in charge of the business. And he laid the foundation, laid all the expectations down. He started to take a step away and he wanted to watch how the business and our family would evolve. So we had to report to a non-family member for about a 15, 20-year period. And in doing that, it kind of took a little bit of that pressure of day-to-day trying to fill those giant shoes and trying to live up in our dad's shadow. We now had to report to someone that wasn't part of the family, but we had a great deal of respect for, and he had contributed a great deal to our company. So that pressure day to day, we probably would have experienced. I can't think of in 35 years, maybe two or three arguments among any of the three of us. And I believe it was part of the structure of how he distanced himself a bit. And we still aspire to make him proud, you know, honor him by our hard work and our contribution. But he removed that pressure.
Mike, what about you? Any pressure to make your dad proud? Or
I definitely wanted to make him proud. I mean, that works on you, and there's no question about that. But I think for all the dads out there that are listening, what my father has done a great job with is whenever there was feedback that needed to be provided to me, whether it was, you know, criticism about something or a compliment, he was always able to communicate exactly, you know, what he was concerned about and why, and if I did something right, how he felt about it. And it took a while, but eventually I started to hear roll off his lips, "I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. I'm proud of you." So when you have climbed the mountain where you're trying to make him proud, but you're getting knocked down a few times and you're getting feedback, when your pop comes over to you and says, "I'm proud of you, doing a good job," I mean, that lifts you up tremendously. So for the dads that are out there, you know, I know it's easy to give our kids the negative criticism stuff, but you got to come around with that pat on the back too, because it goes a long way.
We've been speaking to Mr. Buddy LaRosa and his two sons, Mike and Mark. Congratulations on 70 years in business. We'll be back with more Sunday Morning Magazine right after this.